Thank you. Jan, Shivad Maraman, Sabrava Jagachusti, Vaishnava Bhaktivedan, Santa Bhavaraj Kijai. The Coach Vaishnava Nikijai. Shiva Bhagavatam Kijai. Our glories to the Assemblies. Our glories to the Assemblies. Our glories to the Assemblies. Our glories to Shri Guru and Guru. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 15, Verse 7. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Narayanam namaskritya.
Narayanam namaskritya.
Naram chaiva narottamam.
Naram chaiva narottamam.
Devim sarasvatim vyasam.
Devim sarasvatim vyasam.
Tato jaya mudiraye.
Tato jaya mudiraye.
Snashtapaye shapadeshu.
Snashtapaye shapadeshu.
Nityam bhagavata sevaya.
Nityam bhagavata sevaya.
Bhagavata tamashoke. Bhakti bhavati nashtaki.
Bhakti bhavati nashtaki.
So verse 7. Dehena dehino rajan.
Dehena dehino rajan.
Deha deha bijayate.
Deha deha bijayate.
Bijat eva yata bijam.
Bijat eva yata bijam.
Deyata eva shashvata.
Deyata eva shashvata.
Chant.
Dehena dehino rajan.
Dehena dehino rajan.
Deha deha bijayate.
Deha deha bijayate.
Bijat evita bijam.
Bijat evita bijam.
Deyata eva shasvataha.
Deyata eva shasvataha. Dehena dehino rajan.
Dehena dehino rajan.
Deha deha bijayate.
Deha deha bijayate.
Bijat eva jata bijam.
Bijat eva jata bijam.
Deyata eva shashvata.
Deyata eva shashvata.
Dehena dehina rajam.
Dehena dehina rajam.
Deha deho bijayate.
Deha deho bijayate.
Bijat eva jata bijam.
Bijat eva jata bijam.
Dehyata eva shashvata.
Dehyata eva shashvata.
Dehena.
Dehena.
By the body.
By the body.
Dehina.
Dehina.
Of the Father.
Of the Father.
Possessing a material body.
Possessing a material body.
Rajan.
Rajan.
O king.
O king.
Deha.
Deha.
From the body of the mother.
From the body of the mother.
Deha.
Deha.
Another body.
Another body.
Abhijayate.
Abhijayate.
Takes birth.
Takes birth.
Bijat.
Bijat.
From one seed.
From one seed.
Eva.
Eva.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Yata.
Yata.
Just as.
Just as.
Bijam.
Bijam.
Another seed.
Another seed.
Dehi.
Dehi.
A person who has accepted a material body.
A person who has accepted a material body.
Artha.
Artha.
The material elements.
The material elements.
Eva.
Eva.
Like.
Like.
Shashvataha.
Shashvataha.
Eternal.
Eternal.
Translation. As from one seed another seed is generated, O King, so from one body, body of the father, through another body, body of the mother, a third body is generated, the body of a son. As the elements of the material body are eternal, living entity who appears through these material elements is also eternal. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. From Bhagavad Gita we understand there are two energies, namely superior energy and inferior energy. Inferior energy consists of the five gross and three subtle material elements. Living entity who represents the superior energy appears in different types of bodies through these elements, by the manipulation or supervision of material energy. Actually, both the material and spiritual energies, matter and spirit, exist eternally as potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Potent entity is the Supreme Person. Since the spiritual energy, living being, who is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, desires to enjoy this material world, the Lord gives him a chance to accept different types of material bodies and enjoy or suffer in different material conditions. Factually, the spiritual energy, living entity who desires to enjoy material things, is manipulated by the Supreme Lord. The so-called father and mother have nothing to do with the living entity. As a result of his own choice and karma, the living being takes different bodies through the agency of so-called fathers and mothers. Mukkam karoti vachalam pangam lankayate girim yakipantamaham vande shigurum dinatavinam amagyana timrandasya gyananshara shalakaya chakshumiritam yena tasamay shigurave namaha. The Srila Prabhupada in this purport is paraphrasing a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 31st chapter, verse number 1, that is karmana daivanitrena jantrade papapataye stiyo parvisha udarat pumsoreta kanashaya. That the living entity, he takes his birth from the father to the mother, in the womb of the mother, and this is due to two causes, karmana and daivanitrena. So one is his karma, but the second cause or control is that of the Supreme Lord, or daivanitrena. Or netrena is actually the eyes. Under the eyes, the watchful eyes of the Lord, the living entity takes birth according to his karma. So this is the superior energy, and the inferior energy is his field of activities that he gets to play with while he's in this body. Now, Chichaketu is lamenting, and Narada Muni is instructing him that this living entity, this body, is coming from your two bodies. So the elements are eternal, and living entity is also eternal, but it has nothing to do with you. You're just making the body, but it doesn't belong to you. So Chichaketu and many parents have basically two conceptions of misconceptions of life, that the body, this body belongs to me, therefore all my children's bodies belong to me too. And this, that's the first misconception. It belongs to me, the child belongs to me, the body belongs to me. And the second misconception is I can control my body and I can control my child's mm-hmm. body. And that's a big misconception, as all mothers here know, mm-hmm. that there's no control over the child. I was hearing one mother in Mayapur say, well, when my daughter is 18, then she's going to do this and she's going to do that. I said, don't be so sure. She's going to do this and that, what you want her to do. She will do what she wants to do when she's 18. Even maybe before 18, she will do what she wants to do. And so it's the same. But actually, although the child is seemingly independent of the parents, and the parents have no control, actually there is some control, and here it is stated. The living entity who desires to enjoy is manipulated by the Supreme Lord. So there is some control, it's karmana, but there's also daiva ne trena. So in the 10th canto, 10th chapter, verse 12, Narada Muni is also preaching to the Nala Kuvera and Manigriva, the sons of Kuvera. And he says one verse to them, while alive, does this body belong to the employer? Does the body belong to the self? Does the body belong to the father? Does the body belong to the mother? Or does it belong to the grandfather? Or does it belong to someone who takes it away by force? Does it belong to the sons who burn it? Does it belong to the fire? Does it belong to the dogs who may eat it after death? Or does it belong to the worms who pass still? Who does it belong to, actually? Who does the body belong to while alive? Of course, that's after death, who burn it, and the dogs and the worms. I added the worms. The dogs are already there. But it could be worms if you bury it, and then they pass. The worms pass, too. But the dog's pissed too. Okay. So, who does the body belong to? That was the question. Now, Chituketu and his wife are thinking the child's body belongs to them, and that's why all the trouble is there. That's why they're lamenting, Jai, Maramadavagonitai, Jai. That's why there's so much trouble in this world, that everybody is thinking that my children belong to me, my body belongs to me, and therefore I can use it as I like. Now, actually, the fact is that it is all being manipulated by Krishna, and we have no control unless we surrender to Krishna, and then we have some control. Then we become Goswami, master of the senses. But until then, we are Godasa, our servant of the senses. So let us analyze, who does the body belong to? The employer. Well, it belongs to the employer only for like 8 hours a day, most likely. Although some employers now, especially in this economic crisis time, they are making those who do have jobs work much longer hours. So I'm told, when I was in Canada, there are people who are working from 8-9 in the morning until 2 in the morning at night. They are the managers, they're not the workers. They're like the managers and the ones who are in the higher level. There's one girl, one devotee, she was forced to work until sometimes 10, sometimes 12, sometimes 2 in the morning at her job. Because they just get the most, and they don't get overtime pay. They just have to work like that. And so the reason they give is, so, well, you want to keep your job or we'll hire someone else. Now they're just forced. It's like slave labor. And otherwise, it's very hard to get jobs. My son was out of a job now for many, many months, and finally he got something. And so, therefore, the employer, actually, he could own the body for many hours a day. But most of them are only for 8 hours. Now the self, does it belong to you? If it belongs to you, that means you can keep it forever. But at the time of death, we're forced to lose it. And sometimes, even while we're alive, we lose control of different parts of our body. So if we were actually the controller, or the owner, then we would be able to use it as we like. Now, does it belong to the father? Well, the father gives the seed. But then again, and the mother also holds the child in the womb, but then the child generally at a certain age leaves home in this age of Kali. Although in some good Indian families, the child still remains at home and takes care of the old parents. But generally, the parents go to an old folks' home to die without any friends. Or does it belong to the grandfather? No. The kidnapper? Well, until he gets his ransom or whatever. Well, the sons who burn it. Well, after death, the sons get the body. They're the ones who burn it. So they could also be the owner. Or the dogs who eat it. So who is the owner? Who is the real owner? Here it says in the purport that the material and spiritual energies, matter and spirit, exist eternally as potencies of the Supreme Personality of God. So he is the real owner. Because if you look at the body, it's made of material elements, and they are the material energy of the Lord. And if you look at the soul, it is a spiritual element, and it belongs also to the Lord. So Srila Prabhupada sometimes talked about material atoms and spiritual atoms. We have our material atoms, and that is consisting of the energy, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. And then we have the spiritual atom, the soul. But then higher than that is the potent entity, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it is described that he is within even the atom. He is within everything. That is, Andantarasa Paramanu Chayantarasam. There's a philosophy, Paramanuvad, that everything comes from atoms. You can break everything down. That's true. But the supreme atom is Govinda, Prabhupada said. Govinda Mahi Purusha, Tamaham Pajami. Because he's even within the atom of the atom, even within the heart of the soul. And so that is the Supreme Lord. So in a letter, there was one devotee who had a dilemma. He wanted to join the movement of Hare Krishna, but his parents were not allowing him to join. And Prabhupada said, well, regard your dilemma between Krishna and your parents. Your parents are available in any birth. Even in the animal life, you have parents. You have mother and father. Human or animal, you get a mother and father, but not in every birth do you get the spiritual master in Krishna. So he is your real father and your real mother. Krishna is more important than your parents. Don't miss this opportunity of a human form of life. Now, Chituketu and his wife are suffering because they have this misconception that the child belongs to us and we can also control his life. And obviously they couldn't control because he died despite all their help. And they were very affectionate. So I'd like to read something from the 14th chapter. The time I taught this many, many years ago was the time that Bhakti Chaitanyaraj was leaving his body. So, at that point, it was quite interesting. I was doing the 14th chapter, so I'd like to review it a bit because there's some interesting points here. And it shows all the different levels of misconception or grief for the child or for someone who dies. So in the after Bhakti Chaitanyaraj left, then his disciples made a list of all the 8 stages of grief that you go through, actually 8 levels or 8 stages. The first one is shock, and the second is denial, the third is anger, fourth is guilt, and fifth is fear, sixth pain and sorrow, seventh acceptance, and 8 returning to pursuits of love. So here in the 14th chapter, we see most of these levels. And it's not until, of course, after Narada and Angira finish their preaching that they'll come to the 7th and 8th level of acceptance and returning to pursuits of love. So the first 6, actually 5 of the 6 I saw in these verses here. So shock, verse 49. Hearing the loud crying, all the inhabitants of the palace... Oh, that's not the right verse. 49... Here it is, it's verse 48. The queen came, when she approached her son, she saw he was suddenly dead. Verse 48, in great lamentation, her hair and dress in disarray, the queen fell to the ground unconscious. So that was the first symptom, she's in shock. And then the husband also. When King Chituketu heard of his son's death, from unknown causes, he became almost blind. Because of his great affection for his son, his lamentation grew like a blazing fire, and as he went to see the dead child, he kept slipping and falling on the ground. Surrounded by his ministers and other officers and the learned Brahmanas present, the king approached and fell unconscious at the child's feet, his hair and dress scattered. When the king, breathing heavily, regained consciousness, his eyes were tearful and he could not speak. So shock, that's the first level, that they were all in shock. And the second is denial. No, it didn't really happen, did it? So here is denial in this verse. My dear son, you have slept a long time. Now please get up. Your playmates are calling you to play. Since you must be very hungry, please get up and suck my breast and dissipate our lamentation. So that's denial. No, you're not really dead. You're just sleeping. Come on, get up now and play with us. And sometimes people go through this stage. They never get out of the stage. There's old ladies, their husbands die, and they set the table for the husband as well and make the food for him as well. And they don't get past it. And yes, I met somebody last year that she was still, after 10 years, lamenting for her son that died in an accident. So, denial. No, it has happened. Then anger, number 3. That's in verse 54. Alas, O Providence, O Creator, you are certainly inexperienced in creation. For during the lifetime of a father, you have caused the death of his son, thus acting in opposition to your creative laws. If you're determined to contradict these laws, you are certainly the enemy of the living entities and are never merciful. The Purport Prophet says, this is the way a conditioned soul condemns the Supreme Creator when he meets reverses. Sometimes he accuses the Supreme Personality of Godhead of being crooked, because some people are happy and some are not. is why everyone's happy and why me? Here the queen blames Providence for her son's death. Following creative laws, the father should die first, then his son. Okay. If the creative laws are changed according to the whims of the Providence, then Providence certainly should not be considered merciful, but must be considered inimical to the created being. Actually, it is not the creator, but the conditioned soul who is inexperienced. He does not know how the subtle laws of fruitive activity work. And without knowledge, he ignorantly criticizes the supreme personality of Godhead. So later we find out that the son of Chitraketu was his enemy in his last life. And he died early just to give him trouble, just to give him sorrow. So therefore he's angry at the creator, but actually what can the creator do? It's the enemy is taking birth and he wants to give trouble, and this is how he's doing it. He's dying early. In verse 55, so they get angry when something happens. So somebody was telling me some story recently. It must have been in London, because that's where I was. How a father lost one child, then he lost, there was seven children. Somebody's father, one devotee's father. He had seven children, but out of the seven, two died early. So the first one died. And when the second, there was twins were born, and one of them died. And then the father gave up his faith in God when he saw that. He said, okay, there can't be a God, otherwise how can these things happen to me? Of course, we are the center of existence. So in verse 55, my Lord, you say there is no law. A father must die in the lifetime of his son. A son must be born in the lifetime of his father, since everyone lives and dies according to his own fruit of activity. However, fruit of activity is so strong that birth and death depend on it, there is no need of a controller, our God. So this is the Karmakanda, what is that name of them? Jaimini, these philosophers. Karmakanda philosophers, there's another name for them I can't think of right now. Karma Mimamsa, right, that's it. So they believe that there's no need of a controller, that karma is supreme, and we just simply have to do good works, and then the goal of life is to go to heaven. And a lot of Christians also think goal of life is to go to heaven. So they think this is the highest you can do. Karma is eternal. They think karma is eternal. So therefore, no need of a God, because it's just karma that is supreme. And the God, if there is a God, he just has to give your karma, and that's all he does with his life. So this is different philosophies he's putting here. So this is anger. Guilt I didn't find. Sometimes the parents feel guilty after the child dies. I should have done that different. Guilt. Fear. 56. My dear son, I'm helpless and very much aggrieved. You should not give up my company. Just look at your lamenting father. We are helpless, because without a son, we'll have to suffer the distress of going to the darkest hell of Shrijan. So they're afraid of going to hell because of son. There's, in the Vedic culture, you must have a son. Duty of Grihasthas is have a son, so then he can deliver you from hell. You are the only hope by which he can get out of these dark regions. Therefore, I request you not to go any further with a merciless Yama. So fear. But they weren't. Their fear was for their own sake. Pain and sorrow, we've got here in verse 53. The garland of flowers decorating the queen's head fell, and her hair scattered. Falling tears melted collyrium on her eyes and moistened her breasts, which were covered with kumkum powder. As she lamented the loss of her son, her loud crying resembled the sweet sound of a karari bird. So this lamentation, pain and sorrow. And verse 59, accompanied by his wife, who was thus lamenting for her dead son, King Chitraketu began crying loudly with an open mouth, being greatly aggrieved. Now there's one verse of acceptance here. It's kind of early on. My dear son, I'm certainly most unfortunate, for I can no longer see your mild smiling. You have closed your eyes forever. I therefore conclude you have been taken from this planet to another from which you will not return. My dear son, I can no longer hear your pleasing voice. So it's mixed with the pain and sorrow, 6 and 7 mixed together there. There he's kind of accepting it. Okay, you've been taken, you're gone, I won't see you again. But it's not a healthy acceptance. There has to be a healthy acceptance that, okay, he has gone, and this is the best thing. This is good, and we accept this. And we can now return to pursuits of love. So I would like to read a little bit about death, too. And this is from, actually, a Vyasapuja, one of my godbrothers. Because it's about death. And death is all around it, isn't it? As Yudhisthira said to his father Dharmaraj, it's the most wonderful thing. All around us, people are dying, yet we think we will just live on forever. Ahani, hani, bhutani. There's a verse there. Ahani, hani, bhutani. Every day, people are going to Yamaraj. But no one thinks that I will go. So I just met one devotee. She just found out she has cancer. And it was Vrindavani, my god sister in London. She has cancer now. Bone cancer. And I met her before I came here. She was very philosophical. She says, yes, well, we have to die sometime, so, you know, why not me? But most people, when they hear the news, the death sentence, then they're not very happy about it. Do you ever think what it would be like to be dying? Or do you have already left your body? We see so many devotees leaving their bodies. We see in Vrindavan, and Mayapur also, especially in Vrindavan. But do we ever think one day it will be us? It will be the last cremation we attend. We won't have to worry about a ride home back to the temple. We won't have to worry, because nature will have already arranged our ride to another place. This devotee who wrote this, Vyasapuja, his mother got Alzheimer's disease. And in Alzheimer's disease, you can't remember for 1 minute, you can't remember anything from 1 minute to the next. So her son would come, and she would always ask, oh, who are you? Yeah, and he would have to say, oh, you know, I'm your son, remember? No, don't remember. Yeah. Yeah, my mother, I saw her just before she left. She didn't have Alzheimer's, but she was sometimes a little forgetful. She was quite alert, actually, 92 years old. And she was feeding herself, and she was alert. But she was talking about my son Govinda. He was staying with her for the summer. She said, oh, that boy is really nice. He's really a gentleman, she said, about my son. And I don't know if she knew who he was, but... Anyway, yes, that young boy is really nice, she said. And so this one, his mother got Alzheimer's, and her last words to him were, it was so nice to have met you. And that's the truth, actually, when we think about it, that we meet. We meet our parents, and we go for a ride in the train, and then we get off one stop, and they keep going on their train, and we go on another train somewhere else. And we meet some more, we meet the husband, we meet the children, and we keep going, and then they get off, and we keep going on our train. I think the husband gets off at one stop, and the son gets off another stop. And in Devahuti's life, it was the husband went to take sannyas, and the son went also for preaching. But for us, it's like the husband goes to get married again, and the son goes off to enjoy somewhere. So, and then the mother ends up alone. And so, anyway, interesting how we meet in this life and then we separate, never to meet again in the same forms. Yeah, we take this life as all in all, we become attached and we think, yes, this is my son. I can control him. I can give him good advice and he will listen. Right. Wrong. No, not. It doesn't happen. Yeah, it may happen by accident sometimes, but not really. Now, there was a case very recently in January. Anyway, before January, there's this one boy. He's a Gurukuli, 20 years old, named Chaitanya Nitai. And he's from Mayapur. His parents, his father is Adwaita Chandra. He has that Torchlight publishing company. And his mother used to be a famous model. And now she's writing a book, actually. And so this boy was very troubled mentally for maybe a couple of years, year or two. He was like he's chanting 32 rounds a day and taking drugs, and he said this ghost was forcing him to chant so the ghost inside him would become liberated. So finally one day he jumped off the roof of the Conch building in Mayapur, and he didn't die, but he really got messed up. His feet, I mean, they say he'll walk again, but he had to have operation after operation. I mean, his top part, his chest was completely okay because he had 5 t-shirts on, one Nisshinga, one Jagannath, one Krishna, one, so many different t-shirts. Nothing happened to his chest. He landed on his feet, so his feet were kind of finished, all the bones, and his back also. But the head was okay, and the chest was okay. And he's there now in Vrindavan with his mother. They went to Mayapur, Calcutta, they had so many operations, and then they went to Bangkok to redo all the operations that were done in Calcutta. And then they ran out of money and they came to Vrindavan. Spent about $100,000 so far. And so I talked to the mother before I left, and she was amazingly Krishna conscious. And she said, it's better this way because before we could not control him. He's very tall. He's like 6'4" or something. Huge body. Very huge. And very beautiful. And the face is still beautiful. Same beautiful face. Nothing happened to the face. And she was realizing that, no, he's not my son. He was given to me to take care of. And somehow I must help this soul just by giving unconditional love. And she said that she felt it's good that it happened to her because they have the means and they're kind of influential and they could help other young children who are in that situation. I talked to Braja Leela, who's a counselor in Mayapur, and she said she was counseling the youth. And she said 3 of them wanted to commit suicide out of the youth. That's our children. Our Krishna conscious children. And so, she realized that, you cannot control, but that the only thing that you can do is love. It's the only thing that lasts, and that's love. And there is one on the internet, there's a place called neardeath.com. So there's one case of somebody who tried to kill herself. She shot herself in the chest. And she left her body, and she saw some effulgent beings. And they said to her, well, you have 2 choices. You can go back into your body. It's not fatal. You can go back and suffer, but you have not learned your lesson yet. You haven't learned the lesson you're supposed to learn in this life. So you can go back to that body and learn your lesson, or else you can take another birth and in a much worse situation and learn your lesson there. So what would you like to do? Mm-hmm. She says she chose to go back in the same body. Mm-hmm. Although the circumstances are so difficult, she decided to kill herself. She decided to stay and learn the lesson she's supposed to learn. And so I believe we all have lessons to learn in this life. This life is a school. So we have to learn these lessons. And until we learn it, we don't get out. We don't go to our next birth. And one thing I realized also, and my experience as a mother, is that it's not just at death that you go through all these stages. When your son goes to Maya, you also go through shock, denial. No, my son's a great devotee. Anger. How come he's doing that? I brought him up so nicely. Guilt. Maybe it's something I didn't do right. Fear. What will people think? Pain and sorrow. And then, except finally, okay, it's the way things are. And he's got his own life and he's going to find Krishna himself. And what can we do except love him and love Krishna and become a pure devotee, because a pure devotee will deliver all his descendants. If you're an Uttamadhikari, then you will deliver your descendants 100 generations, according to Shivakti Siddhanta Saraswati. If you're a Madhyamadhikari, now there's 100 generations before and after. If you're an Uttamadhikari, highest first class devotee. If you're a Madhyamadhikari, you will deliver 14 generations before and after. And if you're a Kanishtadhikari, you're just beginning, you will deliver 3 generations before and after by your Kanishta devotional service. So there's hope. There's great hope. Even our children will be delivered by us if we can just stick to it. Even if we're only Kanishtas, but if we're Madhyamas, so much the better. Not only our children, but so many after us will become liberated. And a devotee asked, there were two questions asked of Prabhupada. What kind of liberation do these people get, your family members? Srila Prabhupada said, they will become devotees. That is their liberation. Yes. That's real liberation. Real liberation is to become a devotee, because Brahman, you go and you can come back. So what's the use?
So at some point, the whole bunch.
They will become all devotees. And another question was asked, is it just your father and mother? What? How about your uncles, aunts, you know, cousins? He said everybody. Cousins, uncles, aunts. Everybody will become liberated, not just your immediate family. So there's great hope that if we just stick to devotional service, we can do the best benefit for our family. Even if they're not with us, even if they're not following, then we can still do the best thing. So real birth is from the spiritual master and from Krishna. And my initiation letter, Prabhupada also said that to me. Personally, he said, your first birth is from your father. Your second birth is from your spiritual master. Your physical birth is from your father, the spiritual birth. Now your path is open to go back to Godhead, he said to me. So, therefore, let us all become serious. And if we do happen to lament for somebody, then just try to remember the teachings of Chitraketu. They're very profound teachings. Narada and Angira are instructing how we can get free from this lamentation, how we can understand it philosophically. So any questions or comments in this verse?
It's about devotees. It seems very emotional, like spiritual life.
Mm-hmm.
No, like Teacher Ketara is being really emotional, and that's in the Bhagavatam. But it wasn't
exactly spiritual life, though.
No, it wasn't spiritual life, but it's in the Bhagavatam, you know, it's like very emotional. And it seems like... emotions all have to wake up in spiritual life. It's like you have to feel it.
In spiritual life.
So is that a good thing if you really feel?
Even materially.
No, I mean if you start to feel things about spiritual life.
Yeah.
Is that a good thing?
Yeah, it's good. Prabhupada said it's good. It's good if you're crying for Krishna. If you're waking up the spiritual life. Because it's all about love, it's all about emotions, that's all they're doing in Goloka. It's just, in the morning Krishna leaves and they all cry and lament and try to stop him from going. And then during the day they're thinking about him. And the coward boys of Krishna disappears for 1 second, they start getting emotional.
Yeah.
You know. It's all emotions.
So, I don't know.
The whole nectar of devotion is all about it.
Yeah.
All about the different emotions and
so what they think. All the material emotions, you know, that because we tend in the West to have all these dysfunctional emotional agendas, so all that stuff will be left behind and we'll have emotions for Krishna. Is that like the process?
Yeah, it's a process to change material to spiritual.
Yeah,
to convert
the emotions.
Yeah,
it seems like that. that transition of leaving all that. Conditioned emotions behind.
Right. Yeah, well, it happens naturally.
Gradually, yeah.
Yeah, gradually and naturally. Not all of a sudden, okay, from today, I'm leaving all these material emotions behind. Doesn't work. No, it happens gradually. And it's not, you know, at Ruchi it happens. Natanam, Najanam, Nasundarim. That I don't want wealth, I don't want followers, I don't want the opposite sex, beautiful women, men. All I want is devotional service. I don't want to be praised. So at this level of ruchi, then your attraction for Krishna becomes greater, and you lose your attraction for material things. Already we understand. We've lost our attraction for eating meat, you know, for many gross things. We've already lost our attraction for that. Mm. So now it's more on the subtle. We have to also lose the attraction on the subtle. If we're following the four regulative principles, then we're losing that attraction.
So you prefer Krishna
Yeah, you prefer. You're more attached, more attracted that side.
But is it actually a feeling?
Yeah.
No, it's not just a mental.
No, it has to
Krishna's
be.
Krishna is the most, he's a supreme attractive person. But you actually feel that he's more attractive.
Yeah, you feel like that. Just like going shopping yesterday, you really feel good when you shop for Krishna.
Yeah,
well,
you really
when you buy things for Krishna, then you really feel happy.
Yeah.
And not so happy when you buy things for yourself as you do for Krishna. Of course, I was happy to get my jacket, but but not, it's not like for the, you know, the things for Giriraj, the little earrings and the things.
But it seems to me that that's having all those feelings. It seems more powerful or more relishable or something than the philosophy. You know, the philosophy of you're not the body.
Yeah.
You should serve Krishna.
Head to heart.
It seems like, I don't know if it's right, but it seems like the emotional thing, is it a progression from the intellectual understanding?
Yeah, well, some people are on the head level, and so for them it takes longer. Some people are already on the emotional level. So the problem with the jnani is he's detached. Mm. And so that's what he has to learn in this life, is how to have emotions and how to become attached. And so, but the materialistic person has to learn how to become detached. See, there's different kinds of people. Mm-hmm. And there's the karmi and the jnani. So for the jnani, it's easy to be detached. It's easy because he can't even relate to the world half the time. The intellectual people. Mm-hmm. Whereas the karmis, for them, emotions are just flowing like that. Mm-hmm. So if they can just get attracted to Krishna, it's actually easier than for the impersonalist mm. to do that. Mm. So the impersonalist, but they both have different lessons to learn. Mm. That's all. The one has to learn attachment, one has to learn detachment to Krishna, because both are useless. I mean, the material attachment, material detachment are both obstacles, actually. Yeah.
Another question. Do you want to ask something?
Oh, it's in relation to. I had a question. I was trying to formulate the question, but you just hit on it. That the synthesis between, yeah, those feelings, you know, this material world, like, you know, relationships with family members, and not just trying to cut off abruptly. You know, just cutting off, like being detached.
Yeah.
But at the same time, having the right vision, you know, seeing, you know, spiritually.
There's healthy attachment and healthy detachment, unhealthy attachment, unhealthy detachment. Mm. And they're both there. So the healthy is in relationship to Krishna. If you can be detached in relationship to Krishna and attached in relationship to Krishna, then that's healthy. And the unhealthy, I mean, I've experienced, unhealthy attachment causes disease. It causes so many problems in your body if you're attached. Mm-hmm. I mean, just like they say, oh, the mother says to the kid, oh, because of you I'm getting sick. Mm-hmm. That's true, actually, but it's not because of the son, it's because of her unhealthy attachment for the child. Because they have an attachment in the wrong way. They're attached to the body. So therefore, they can make themselves physically ill because of their mind, their mental dysfunction. Yeah, I mean, I met one mother also like that, and I said, don't go that way, you know. And so she was living in Vrindavan, the son was taking drugs, you know, having bad association. I said, you know, and then she was just like, you know, dying a million deaths, suffering, sick, this illness, that illness, ringing in the ears. And I said, yeah. Better if your son, you know, goes to, we're UK, better if he's a good citizen in UK than in a hippie in Vrindavan, you know, breaking all the rules and making offense to the Dham. So, yeah, she took that advice. But, so there's this unhealthy attachment, and it's very difficult because it's so strong between the mother and children. It's so strong. So attachment, There's good, you have to figure it out. What is the good attachment? And that means to see them in relation to Krishna. Okay, this soul is given to me now. What can we do now? Now they're out of control. So the best we can do is pray and become a pure devotee ourselves. Pray for them. Do things, do extra rounds for them, whatever you can do. the spiritual.
I feel like it, it's a gradually sort of understanding it in my own life, for my own children, and now, because I have my service here, it's really helpful. I'm focused on Radhamada and got nice association, so I just have a bit of contact, but it's getting less and less and less sort of involvement, really. If I go to see them, it's quite difficult from online, and so I'm trying to see how, to still have some connection, but not, I ring them, it's easier when I ring up.
So that's good, and you do it that way.
Was it this morning when I was on the altar? Because I spoke to my daughter on the phone yesterday, and my third grandchild is just about to be born now.
Oh.
And I was like, okay, she had two miscarriages, so, she's lucky just to get to the end of this pregnancy, isn't it? So I felt, I've spoken to her, I don't know if because it was in my mind because I've spoken to her, but I thought Radhamada were in there, because it's all part of Krishna, like the whole creation is connected to Krishna.
Yeah.
And I felt like Radhamada was saying, your grandchild's coming, something a little auspicious there. So I don't know,
Sorry, yeah, they're taking care of our relatives. Whoever you serve, they will take care.
Seems like for Krishna knows about it, and he's
involved. For me, it's Giriraj and Prabhupada, who are taking care of my son. Yeah, even though my son has left Krishna consciousness, still, there are times, when it gets rough, then he turns to Krishna.
Mm.
Like one time he's working at a mall, and he had no place to live. He was living in his car. So after he finished work one night, he lost the keys. I don't know, I told somebody this story, maybe you, but he lost the keys to his car and his mall. And he was wandering the streets, no place to stay, no place to sleep. Just wandering on the streets, and so if he remembered Krishna, he said, "Okay, Krishna, if you give me my keys back, I'll chant 16 rounds." But it doesn't mean in one day; it means like, okay, 16. So then he went back to the mall, and there the security guard had his keys. They said one homeless person came and brought these keys to us. So he chanted, and his face got a little bit renewed for one day at least, and he chanted 16 rounds. It took him about a month, maybe, or whatever. But and so somehow they can't. I mean, Krishna still is there in their lives, still controlling. I mean, I couldn't have helped him. He said, and he was going to call me if he didn't find his keys. He was going to call me and ask me to pray to my Giriraj for it. So anyway. Yeah, Krishna is helping in our family, in their lives. You can see that. We just have, if we really surrender 100% to Him, then He will just take care of everything, what we lack. And that includes what our family members lack, too. He will take, preserve what they have and give what they lack. Any other questions? Okay, after you blow the conch. Yes.
This is interesting, like relationships. You may live your life, say, it could be 20 years, and you meet somebody, and you attach to that person, and you feel you can't live without that person.
I know.
It's quite amazing.
Yes, because you've been a brahmachari your whole life, right? You've been a brahmachari your whole life, right?
I'll try now.
Yeah, it's great. So I'm sure it's amazing for you that we just, after 20 years of living, we meet somebody and we think, oh, I can't live without him. That is the, what is it, prakshapatmika? There's two kinds of energies of Maya. One is to throw you down and one is to keep you down, keep you covered. So that's the covering of Maya. And that's, if we analyze, I can't live without this person, I'm happy, working hard all day and not getting this, that, working like a slave, this is happiness. and this person is, although you fight all the whole day long, you can't live without each other. It's like that. That's quite amazing, the material energy. And then it hits you when you get like middle age crisis. Oh dear, my whole life I didn't enjoy. Now's my chance before I get too old. I see it. I know. One just got married at 50, second marriage. Yeah. Somebody else, I was in the ladies' ashram, and there are people there still want to. Yeah. Question?
Yeah, you know, in the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says that philosophy without
Religion. It is.
It's speculation.
That's speculation. That's right.
Religion without philosophy is sentiment, fanaticism.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, I was thinking that if somebody knows the philosophy, like Ezagani, they know the philosophy, but they don't practice.
Theoretical.
Is that what it means, mental speculation? Is when you know something, but you don't practice it?
No, it's not mental speculation. Mental speculation is when you have your own ideas about the philosophy instead of as it is. Mm-hmm. That's mental speculation. That theoretical knowledge means there's five levels: anamaya, pranamaya, gyanamaya. So you're on the third level. Mm-hmm. Vijnanamaya is realization. Mm-hmm. So you haven't progressed yet to the fourth level of realization. I mean, some realization is there if you're still a devotee. That, you know, okay, there is, this is the way, this is the only way that I to live, and the goal someday, we have the hope that we will get some realization. Mm-hmm. And some realization, yes, but, and that's what the next seminars I'm doing on the Bhagavatam, that I have exercises where they have to apply the knowledge every day, that whatever we learnt in the class, and they have to apply it into their lives on that day. In that particular day. So that's a practice I also have. Like, I'll read a verse every day. I read some verses in Gita or something, you know. Mm-hmm. And then at the beginning of the day, and then I say, okay, I'll choose this verse. Today I will try to apply this verse to my life. Like, for example, if Krishna says, you just have to tolerate happiness and stress, okay, today I'm going to practice tolerating. Mm-hmm. Or else, you know, it may say so many different things. But when you do that, the whole day becomes transformed. When you just think of that verse the whole day and try, okay, today is the day for this. Today I'm going to see Krishna in it everywhere. But, you know, it's like, it's really far out. What can happen to your day? I did that seminar in New Zealand. Now I'm going to do it in Ishwas. Yeah. Mm. Do it in Ishwas. Teachings of Queen Kunti. I can do it here next year. You're behind.
So it's purification. The purification means that you get actually the realization.
Yeah.
That's, you know, the...
Yeah, more purification.
The more purified, the more you can realize it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just purify, you advance, you get past the Nartanaviti is the uphill struggle, the dark night of the soul. Mm. It can happen, and once you get past that, then it's gliding. Downhill, and Ruchi, and Nishta, got up to Nishta, and then Ruchi, Asakti. Now it's your mind is, you chant japa and your mind is going, you don't know how it goes, so how did I get over there, in that part of the world, or that different country, or that person's whatever, how did I get there? And you bring your mind back. And so when you get to Ruchi, Asakti, then you might be thinking, you know, just any thought, but then all of a sudden Krishna comes in your mind. Oh, how did that happen? How did I think of Krishna all of a sudden? How did I think of Krishna's form? How did I think of his flute playing? How did I think of his words? They just came in my heart without even trying. Well, that's when you get to asakti. Or how do you, sometimes you just hear the Guru Puja, Shri Guru Charanam, and it just comes in your mind. Or the kirtan comes in your mind. Oh, such a nice kirtan. And so that's when your mind becomes your friend. Now the mind is the enemy most of the time. But at some point it does become your friend. Mm-hmm. And we are waiting for that day. Yes. When the mind becomes a friend. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so what time is it supposed to stop anytime? No?
Yeah, 8:45 officially.
Oh, officially 8:45. We are early.
It was always 8:45, absolute limit. So we're within limits here. I could ask another one if you have one.
We've got three more minutes here.
This is a very quick thing.
I mean, it's okay for Nitai here to listen. It's kind of like chatting to children and stuff like that. You're really fortunate. Well, at least you can preach to people now, you know how they feel. Yes.
I was just saying, in Touchwood, about when he said about the women at 50 going into another relationship.
Yeah.
And Touchwood, it doesn't happen to me, because, you know, my age can always... The sati is that stage from Ruchi. You've got to have an Archanivati.
Nachanaviti Nishta Ruchi Asakti.
Asati.
Asakti.
Ashakti.
No, Asakti. Not Shakti. Asakti. Mayasakta. Manapakta. No SH. Asakti.
Asakti.
And then second.
Alright, Asakti. Asakti. So that comes after Ruchi.
Yeah. That means you become condensed and absorbed. So that's really fixed. Before Bhava, it's just before Bhava. Uh-huh. Very much attracted to Krishna. Mm. Your attraction is strong.
Can you get... Would someone get glimpses of
that? Oh, yeah, yeah.
Before that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Even in the Shraddha stage, you can get Ruchi. Otherwise we wouldn't be here. We get some taste when we first come. Mm. And wow, this chanting is so nice. Mm. We get it. Now, how you know you're in the stage is it's steady. You don't come down from that.
Yeah.
See? Mm. So when you're in asakti, then there's absolutely no attraction for the material. It's only for Krishna. Now we have, yes, even in the Nartanavritti and all these stages, we have some attraction for Krishna. Otherwise, you know, what are we doing here? We're attracted to his beauty. We're attracted. Yeah, and in my class in the seminar, we'll talk about that. With the deities. Making a relationship with the deities we're going to do. I think that's on Monday, the first class on Monday. The deities will be open at 10:30. 10:30 is the class,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and they can be open.
Yeah, no, 10 to 12.
Oh, that's good. So we need 10:30 to 11:30 open. Yeah, so we'll discuss about that. That even on the Kanishta level, the Prabhupada says you're imperceptibly liberated. If you look at the deity and you think, oh, they're so beautiful. Even if you're on the lowest level of devotional service. If you're just visiting the temple, these are the Kanishtas, just visiting, and you don't know anything, but you just say, wow, such a beautiful deities you have. Such, Krishna is so beautiful. Yes, we do get that glimpse. We may even get a glimpse of Baba, you know, feeling ecstatic emotions and things on a lower stage, even at the beginning in Bhajana Kriya or whatever. But to understand what stage you're on, then it has to be steady. Mm. You're always attracted. You're always 24 hours a day you're in Bhava. That means you're always, your heart is always like, then you're in Bhava. Mm. Nishta means you're really steady. You don't sleep. Sleep doesn't disturb you in your japa and these things. There's five symptoms of Nishta and steady devotional services. And there's six levels of unsteady devotional service. Mm.
Six levels of unsteady.
Yeah. That's material kadamati.
Yeah.
You know, first you're very enthusiastic and you want to preach to everyone, but you don't really know anything. You haven't realized anything. Mm. But you want to convert everyone, your friends, your family, your dog, your whatever. And then comes, that's that. And then there's thick and thin. Sometimes you're really enthusiastic and sometimes you couldn't care less. Mm. That's the second level. And the third level is you're struggling with sense gratification. Or you're indecisive. Should I get married or should I remain single? Mm. Or should I go to this temple or should I go to that temple? Or should I, you know, this, that, move in, live in the temple? Should I move outside? These are indecisive stage. Mm. Then there's a stage where you're struggling with sense gratification. Oh, you really, still you want to enjoy something, and, or you overeat or whatever. Mm-hmm. You still have something you want to enjoy mm-hmm. in this world, and sometimes you lose it, sometimes you do fall down. That's the fourth level. And then the fifth level is you make all these vows, but you can't follow them. Oh, today I'm going to chant 64 rounds. But then you end up, or else you stay up all night for Ekadashi, and you fast, and the next day you sleep and overeat. So this is the fifth level. And the sixth level is that you get the facilities of bhakti. People give you donations, you get a nice place to stay, and you get attached to these facilities. Yes. That's the last level of unstable devotional state. And then there's five symptoms when you go of, there's five obstacles just also to nishtha. But the main symptom is described in Bhagavatam that you're in the mode of goodness, basically, and you're free from passion, ignorance. Prabhupada says 75% free. Nashta Prayesh Abhadi Shu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Nashta Prayesh, almost free. And then it's Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki, then you're in Nishta. Almost 75% free means Tadara Jastamo Bhava Kama Lobada Yashe, you're free from passion and ignorance, mostly. But yeah.
Would that mean like you can follow the four regs without a big and.
Yeah,
it's not
easy.
Such a struggle.
Yeah, you like it. You like the four regular principles. It's not a struggle. Yeah, it's even more than that. You get up early. You like to chant, you know. Your mentality is in the mode of goodness too. I mean, your life is in the mode of goodness. You follow. Get up early, chant 16-year-old. Chant more rounds, and then you're peaceful. Also, you don't have anxiety of the mode of ignorance. You don't have hankering of the mode of passion. Like, I need this. I need that. I need that. So it's a mental peace there in the mode of goodness.
It's also hankering, the one thing about Krishna.
No, that's okay. That's good, Prabhupada said. That's
preaching, you may be feeling.
That's fine. That's good. That's good, yeah. Prabhupada said that anxiety is wanted.
But passion.
But devotional service in the mode of passion means that you think you're the best devotee. That's mode of ignorance and passion. I'm the best devotee. Others should appreciate my service. And you're a bit of a separatist in passion and ignorance.
What could it not be like you're passionate for Krishna to? There's so much to do, and you get, you know, like last night I started to feel really passionate because what am I going to do? Oh my God! Quick, somebody, quick, come from. I felt
very passionate.
I felt so
you're kind of forced, yeah. That's not your fault. She's leaving and you all have to cook, right?
Well, somebody said I'll be extra today. Yeah, but I was up last night thinking, who can I ring? You know, I was on the email and till like 10 o'clock.
That's for Krishna. It's okay. But it shouldn't be like that every day.
Yeah, I think it was.
And sometimes it happens, yeah.
It's disturbing.
There are some devotees, I've seen some devotees, it's now, and they, you know, from morning to night, they're engaged, and they're running from one to the other. Mm. They're chanting japa, but they're thinking of the next thing. Mm. And they're running, and I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to do this, I have to do that. And even now, it's summertime, and half of the work is not, but they're still running. Mm. They're still, oh, now I have to clean my house, I have to do this, cooking, this, that. It's just like, but for you, it's not your fault. It's Krishna's fault. He's not sending somebody.
No, not again.
Yeah, I know somebody has to come. I try everywhere I go. I say, you want to go to Belfast? Nobody. Only one person said yes.
That lady.
The old lady in Washington, but she's maybe 65, but she didn't sleep for two nights doing Janamashtami in Washington. On the altar, she was on the altar for like 2 days, 2 nights.
But she would come.
Yeah, I'll see again when I go there. Somehow we didn't connect. Mm. Yeah, she sews for the deities.
Oh, no, she can't come here.
She's no, but she cooks and she does artis. Well, she doesn't need to do everything.
She can't come if she sews.
She cooks.
Sorry.
She cooks also. And she preaches, and she dresses.
I'm attached. I'm just see how attached I am.
Well, she doesn't have to sew. She can cook. Anyway, whatever. Well, yeah, it's Degoshi about it.
I'd have to let her, because I would feel mean not to let her do some.
Yeah. Or you can make extra dresses, you know.
I'm already making so many.
Okay. How you go? I'll go to Shri Prabhupada. Time for breakfast.
Thank you.
Tomorrow is Lord Nrisimhadev's appearance day. Yeah. So we should read from Nrisimhadev.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. We'll read some past time.
Seventh
canto is missing on the seventh, yeah. So we'll read something tomorrow. There's no class at night tomorrow, right? You just have your time.
It hasn't really discussed, has it?